the day is arriving when you will have to leave your body. Yes. Then he says, who you are? He says, I am Mr. Jan, I am Mr. Khan, I am Mr. Singh, I am such and such. When a more further impressions come into himself, then he says, I am a Christian, I am a Hindu, I am a Mohammedan, you see. I am an Indian, I am a Russian, I am American. Just see how far he has receded from the consciousness which a little child has. So it is the consciousness that we are. We are conscious entities. And that to be withdrawn from all outside and know ourselves so that we can run the machinery of the man body in outside world whenever we like. If not, we can withdraw from there. So such men, their bodies appear to be in the world, but their souls are in mouthpiece of God, contact with God. Their bodies appear to be entangled in the worldly affairs day and night, but whenever they want, they rise above body consciousness and travel into the beyond. That's the difference. As I told you this morning, with the average man and the one who has succeeded that way is vast difference. We are at the mercy of the outgoing faculties and enjoyment. We are dragged like anything, whether we wish it or not. But one who has, with the grace of some adept in the body, he has given him a demonstration as to how to rise above body consciousness, he rises above the outgoing faculty. The seat of the soul is at the back of the eyes. And all outgoing faculties have their place below, ears, eyes, nose, down. These five decades, lust, anger, greed, taste and touch, they have got their centers to work. Lust attacks from the eyes, through the eyes. Anger has a boost when you hear. Taste through the tongue and smell through the nose. So these, those who are just competent to have their feet there at the back of the body, at the back of the eyes, he is competent to use any of the in fact, that is will and pleasure. So this is what the difference between the average man and the other man. So religions, I told you, that were raised with a very noble purpose so that many people may derive benefit therefrom by judging it. So long as they are practical people, people derive the full benefit of that. For want of them, the same formations raised with noble purpose stagnated. Further deterioration came up. Masters, they come from time to time when they see this plight of the world, they say, dear children, know that who you are. Again they revive that very truth, which is the basic teaching of all masters. And they bring home these things to them. Now soul, as I told you, is of the same essence as that of God. God is all consciousness and soul is conscious entity. So physically, you see, we are all one, with equal privilege from God. As soul, we are also of the same essence as that of God. We are all children of God. We are all brothers and sisters in God. And the power that we worship as God, as God by so many names, is the same which is controlling all universe and controlling us in the body too. So as man, as soul, as whom we worship, we are all already one. The unity exists, but we have forgotten. There are thousands of luminous people playing God, bearing different labels on the man body. But to whom they bow down? To God, who is the controlling power of all creation. First they have to know themselves. So like archers, you see, there are many archers, but the point, target is the same always. Whether you have the outer labels of one religion or the other, that show in which school, particular school of thought you are taken up to solve the mystery of life. This is basic teachings given by all masters in their own language, of course. That school is better, is appreciated, from which many students come out successful. Not that whose buildings are very grand, whose playing grounds are very beautiful, whose dresses are very magnificent, but where from many turn out, get highest degrees. So as I told you, all this plight came up for want of practical people. So masters always tell us what they bring us. They say, first of all, that there is a maker of all this universe. He also made your body in the womb of the mother. So, Master said the same thing. They say, love God and all those whom God has created. So all scriptures, when you see, look through them, they enjoin this thing. God is love, and love is God. Tenth Guru says, hear ye all, lend me your ears, I tell you the truth. Whether you bear the labels of one school or the other, the way back to God is also through love. God is love, and love is innate in our souls. Now, instead of that love being had a boost by coming in contact with all love which is controlling us in the body, that being attached to the outside things, which is termed attachment. Love knows giving, and attachment means squeezing, dragging something, usurping something for one's own self. Vast difference between the two. So they bring the religion of love. Kabir also, all masters I say, Kabir says, well, love thy man body is the only golden opportunity in which you can love God. How? When you are brought in contact with God, which is controlling you in the body, the outer expression of which is light and sun. So if someone, we have got love for the world, which is called attachment, that's the reason we go where we are most attached. In man body, we could have contacted God within us, which is all love. Had that become the ruling passion, then naturally after death we would have gone to the lap of the Father. The reason of our coming again and again, ever since we were separated from God, we have not yet been successful to go back to our home. So all masters tell us like that. All those who are on the spiritual way, St. Paul said, what you should serve one another with love. Blessed one who serves his fellow man, he is the true lover of God. So one and all, you see, Taylor says, he, in his poem, he prays best who loves best. Saint John also says, he that loveth not God, loveth not, knoweth not God. One and all, Bible says so, love thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and love thy neighbor as thyself. So all masters who came before us, that man God also desires that the controlling power keep his hand in the body, and we also, the children of God in the same body, if we torment anybody, how can we know God? We want to meet God. But the love God residing in man's body and his children residing also there, you are tormenting them, you are squeezing their blood, how can God be met with you? So Free said, torment not anybody if you care to love God, to see God, to meet God. One devotee prayed God, "O God, just would you kindly pay a visit to my home?" He said, "Yes, I will come." He made all preparations, cleaned his house, laid on the bed of roses for God to come. He also cleaned clothes and sat at the door outside, waiting for God to come. From morn till night, he was there. And God did not come. One old man did come who could not walk properly. He was asking, I am hungry, will you kindly give me a loaf of bread? He passed by. At night, devotee prayed, God, you promised to come to my house and you have not come. Because I did come. I was asking for a loaf of bread from you, and you did not give it. Unless our inner eyes open to see God in everybody, to see his children, we are all brothers and sisters in God, we cannot know God. So love is the main thing in all affairs. That's good to say. God is in the whole world, and world is in him. If you tease anybody, you torment anybody, mind that God will take, he will punish you for that. So truth remains, when God wanted to be many, there was light. And that light is the cause of all creation that resides in every heart. That light we have to come to know. We are all children of light. So light take care that the light which is in you is not darkness. You see? So light is there. So love knows service and sacrifice. Whom you love, you want to give everything to him. Love knows giving, as I told you. And attachment wants everything to your own self. That's the vast difference between the two. Kabir says, so long you are in the body, in Punjabi language, body is called a day. Day word means also to give. He says, so long as you are in the body, give, give and give. Man is one who lives for others. Animals live for their own self and for those who are his children. If we behave the same way, how can we be better than the animals? One poet says, look to the face of the animal, it is just like facing the earth. If that remains all too earthly, that is all right. But God made man's face upward. Look upward. Rise above this physical body. So now, you see, this body is the true temple of God, in which we reside and also God resides. The temples which are made outside, they are made after the model of man body, dome-shaped. You see, in that they put in the symbol of God made out of stone, some gods. In Mecca, you see, you kept there the quarry kept by Khalilullah Ibrahim. That's a remembrance of that prophet. And these are made symbols kept there for the love of God, for remembrance of God. They are both equal. Now the one query is, which is better of the two? Both are kept with the same symbols. The temple has the same light, the mosque has the same light, the church has the same light, all holy places have the same light. Which is better of all of them? That's the only symbols kept there in sweet remembrance of God. Such light is which is seen as the outer expression of God. So he replies, he is better of the two in whom that light is effulgent. That is, light is radiating. That is better of all these. So masters tell us, you see, in all regions, you know the highest degree which we are supposed to have is to know God, and the degree is given for a Sikh who becomes a Khalsa. And definition is given to see the great conflagration of light of God. Only he is Khalsa, not that who is bearing the label of that ism, but who sees inner eyes open to see the light of God. A Hindu is one, truly speaking, when the light which is makes outside in worship and other things, or in the temples he goes and lights the candles. He is not the true Hindu, he is the true one who lights that candle within, which is already there. Kabir says, there is one lamp burning within you without candle, without the wick and without the aisle. We are the children of light, take it that the light within you is not darkened. So this all master tell us. So differences are there. These are man-made. One truth is working at the basis of all religions, of all masters' teachings. Whether he is a believer in God or not, both ways. These differences came up as a result of our own whims, excuse me if I say. One rishi stood up with the, what you say, result that it's all God. Our soul is also God, fully. Then the other came up, the follower Shankara, Ramanuja, he said, there's still covering up of what you say. They are covering on the body. This is physical, this is astral, I mean, there are pranas, there are manomay, there is conscious, I mean, intellectual, and there is of peace and jaya. Still it is a second hand. So when they went on, when they saw that very expression radiating through a man body, He said he is a Bhagavan. So these all differences are due to them. They came up. Why? On account of narrow-mindedness and bigotry. As also due to climatic influences or customs prevailing. I may give you one or two examples to show that in Arab there's dearth of water. Prophet Muhammad came up. He saw that the water is very less, there's dearth of water here. He said, all right, when you can wash your hands, feet and face, that is sufficient to say the prayer of God, prayer. When there was no water whatsoever, then he said, he had a custom, you see, tayammum. That is, besmear your hands and feet with the earth and sit for prayer. In the countries where water is in abundance, they say, unless you take a bath, you cannot say, your prayer is not accepted. So this difference is due to the climatic influence. Means when you sit for prayer, for the sweet memories of God, you sit wide awake, not sleeping. In the Christian churches, you find to sit bareheaded is a sign of respect. If you go to the six temples, they think that the sit head with covered head, this is a sign of respect. So difference is about the customs prevailing. Those both mean the same thing, to sit respectful. You follow my point? So on account of narrow-mindedness and bigotry and custom prevailing and climatic influences, these differences are there. And these are man-made. So temples, as I told you, true temple is man's body, in which the light of God is effulgent. You see, all these temples have two aspects. When God wanted, I want which to be many. So ringing radiation came out of that. The two aspects of light and sound are the outward expressions of the existence of God. So they have made tables out of the man body, dome-shaped, and put in light and sound. Simple there. In churches, no shape, they put in light and sound, principle there. In churches, when you go, light, they lit the light already lighting, and the bell is going on ringing already. In the new temple you go, those who enter, they light the candle and also ring the bell themselves who enter. So these are only meant, you see, two symbols kept in the outer temples and churches, etc., to show that such like light and such like sound is within you, reverberating. Oh man, you see it from outside, I am a hidden treasure within you, why don't you find me? This is Quran says. All others also say, there are treasures of divinity within you, why not dig it up? One Bhuka saint says, in the world there is nobody hungry. Only this knot of the physical and our soul being under the control of mind and outward faculties is in it. If we don't know how to unravel it. That is why we cannot find, the God is within us. We are seeking outside. How can we succeed? So all masters lay much stress on that. They say, body is the temple of God. If you want to find Him, you will find Him only within you, which is the controlling power. Now, outer religions aim at what? They are preparation of the ground, I would say. Man is a social being. He must have some social body to live in. So they teach us to have a life of ethical life. In all religions, you say, although their outer forms and rituals are different, but they all enjoin what is a true life. Truth is above all and true living is above truth. So we have kept this man body outwardly very clean, but we should keep the hearts also pure. We spend thousands of dollars for the outer cleanliness, but what we have done to clean our hearts? Blessed is the hearts that are pure, pure as heart, for they shall see God. Whose mind is defiled, his whole, everything is defiled. Whose mind is pure, everything is pure. If you keep a filthy cloth or anything, bad odor will come out and fill the whole atmosphere of the room. So we should look after people are after outer cleanliness, they should have the inner cleanliness. If they want that God who is already there, he will manifest his form, his appear, make manifest when their heart is pure. So all masters say like that. So spirituality, what it is, actually speaking now. The world religion also means the same thing. They don't mean the outer isms or the social body that we are carrying, that's right. The word religion means, re means back, leisure to bind. To withdraw our attention from all outside and bind with the God over there. This is called religion. This is called truly speaking spirituality. Word yoga also comes from the root, yuj. That is to bind back our soul back to God. So, what is the highest religion in the world then? Outer forms, they are, master don't touch them because there are already so many more than 700 already. So that is the first step we have taken. But for the purpose for which we have taken, we should see that. Khalsa is one who sees the light of God. A Hindu is the one who sees the light of God. A Mohammedan also sees, who sees the light of God, and Christian also saying who sees the light of God. That's the highest degree. So which is better and which is of the two? So that man body is blessed from it, that radiance, ring radiance, is radiated. So the highest religion is what? What Guru Nanak defines. We are all children of God. We are reading in one class, bearing different labels as the body. Purpose is the same, to know God. The ultimate goal is to have right way of living. Our livelihood should be earned by sweat of brow. Our lives should be pure. And to know God. See that all masters who came in the past, they had the same teaching underlying. Guru Arjan broke the ice, I would say. The scriptures of various masters you will find in their own books alone. But in the sixth scripture, which was compiled by Guru Arjan, he compiled as many masters' sayings as he could lay hands on in one volume. That is to mean the whole object was to unite all mankind in the silken bonds of love and not create schism. That is what the master always do. They come to unite, not to disunite. The whole purpose of, they bring the religion of love to mankind. They say, who created you to have love for that? whatever has been created by him also have love for that. It is told that Moses was passing by in the wilderness. There was one shepherd praying God, "Oh God, if you were hungry, I would have given the milk of these sheep today. Oh God, if you felt I was cold, I would have just woven the wool of the sheep and given you, made a coat for you to wear around." He was going like that. And Moses passed by, "Are you heretic? What are you talking? Can God drink your milk?" He was sitting in love of God. To love, no, I bounce. God looks to the heart from which those words are coming. He began to cry, "Oh God, I have displeased you." And while crying, he went into within. And God appeared, "Well, look here, I will also drink your milk. I will also wear your clothes." And then Moses, when he came back, sat in meditation inside. God appeared to him, told him, "Look here, I have sent to you to unite those who are not united with me, not those who are united to break away from me. Go and ask for forgiveness," you know. So love knows service and sacrifice. Love knows giving. And only we know, I'm not talked out about a letter I gave in the morning about meditation. Tomorrow I will submit to you what these masters give. The third talk I will again give you, where God resides within you. Our scriptures maintain it. So my point is, you see, if we know how to give to others, then everybody will be happy. So master's way is sometimes to give direct talk and sometimes by means of parables. Christ also did that. It is said in the Puranas that Vishnu, the Lord of maintenance, invited all gods and those pushers, they are not gods, gave them a feast. The feast was served, food was served, and the gods also took their place, sat down, and the others also sat down. And Lord Vishnu stood up, said, "Look here, gentlemen, all this food for you. Eat to your heart's content. But my one condition should be observed. And what is that? Don't bend your elbows to eat the food." Those who were not gods, they thought over it, they said, "Stay now. If we do not move our elbows, how can we eat food?" They could not come. They left the place in disgust. Told that Lord Vishnu had played a mockery. And the others who were gods sat down. He said, "These are the words of Lord Vishnu. Must be something at the bottom." For a while they came, it struck them, "Well, it is very easy. Let others, make others eat. Why bend it, but let your remain as it is, let others eat." The result was, everybody ate. Why we are unhappy?
Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Satsang from Master Kirpal Singh. Little reminder, this Thursday is August 21, the death anniversary of Master Kirpal Singh. This morning our reader is Joan Burge. You there, Joan?
Yes.
Okay, carry on.
Okay. I'm going to be reading the rest of a talk that I started last time, which was given in South Florida during the first week of December, 1972. Can we see God? Guru Nanak was put this very blunt question. He said, "Yes, God is pervading everywhere. Masters say what they see. They don't give any reason for it, because they are competent to give a demonstration of that and let you see. He is nearer to you than your hands and limbs. The Hindu scriptures say, He is so near to you, nothing in the world is nearer to you. He is the very life of you. Kabir says, Once I was in doubt, but really it is so, because when my eye was open, I really saw him. Then all my delusions have gone. All my doubts have vanished. I see him everywhere. This is one function of the master. We confound him with the teachers of the world, with due respect to them all, at whose feet we have learned something. But this is something which begins where all philosophies end. When your contact with the physical body and your outgoing faculties are set aside, Shems Tabriz was asked, What about God? He said, Don't believe unless you see God. You see? Masters also say, Don't believe in the words of the master unless you can testify yourself that this is so. You must have something to start with. It may be little or more. How much depends on each man's background, but you must have something to start with. A man comes up and gives a very wonderful talk on business principles. It is very informative, but the poor fellows to whom the talk is given have no money to start with. So all teachers promise to go on doing this, doing that. You'll have it after some time. You must be prepared. You must be ready. You'll get it at the time of death. Be rest assured. Your life will be insured. Well, don't believe that. A bird in the hand is better than two in the bush. Give your all and then you'll have everything? No, I don't think so. You must have seen first. He does not want anything from you. He says, I've come to give. It is God's gift. Have it free. Do you have to pay for sunlight, for air? Then why for the gift of God should we have to pay? That is the first thing, you see. Masters come to give, not to take. They stand on their own legs. And as Shems Tabriz said, You should be able to see the beloved within you with your own eye, which you have got within. And you should be able to hear his voice with your own inner ear. Now the question comes, how to open that eye with which he can be seen. He says, when you close your eyes, there is darkness. Look penetratingly into it. Put your whole attention into it. That is knocking on the door, you see, and it shall be opened. You continue to look directly into that, and you will find light. Who will see that light? Your very self. You will find all saints, Tulsi Sahib, Shems Tabriz, all say the same thing. Sit down in meditation. Nothing comes up for years and years and years. Tulsi says, How to penetrate this darkness? Sit at the feet of a master. He gives you a boost, you see, and then you see light. Is it not wonderful? Is it not a miracle? What more miracle is required? You see, unless a man rises above the life of senses, the inner way is not open. It is you who have to see. That is why it is said, Know thyself, O man, know thyself. Who you are, what you are. What are we? Conscious entities. We have got attention. When the attention is diverted from outside and concentrated to our own self, there you see the light. Very simple. Do you see the common sense point of what is being put before you? He says further, Why do we not see him? Because of the ramification of the mind. Ripples are going on in the subconscious reservoir of our mind. Until those ripples stand still, you cannot see him. It is something like a pond covered with weeds If you take out the weeds little by little every day, you can look in the water and see your face. And what are those weeds? Your body. Body is the beginning of all delusion. We are having the body, and we are working at the level of the body. Body is changing every minute of life, being made of matter. All the world around is changing, since it is also made of matter, at the same speed at which our body is changing. And, as we are identified with it, this is an optical illusion. It appears to be stationary. How can we come out of that? This is the demonstration which is given by the Master. If you are identified with the mind, outgoing faculties, and intellect, and you have recourse to the methods or practices which are concerned with those things, how can you rise above them? So rise above body consciousness. This is given out by all masters. Learn to die so that you may begin to live. Be reborn, be twice born. To withdraw your attention from outside and the body below, come to the seat of the soul in the body. This is called meditation. And meditation is the way back to God, which can be had only in the man body and in no other. All gods and goddesses hanker to have the man body for this reason. So Kabir says, O man, why do you boast you are the highest if you have not known God? Your greatness lies only in the fact that you can see God. If you have not seen him, how can you say anything? It is not a matter of only speaking, you see, giving long or tall talks. Naturally, prayer arises from the failures of our own efforts. When all human efforts fail, their prayer succeeds. We pray to whom? A weak man prays to a strong man or to God. O God, we are helpless. We are stuck fast in this prison house of the man body. How can we come out? It is locked on all sides. O God, send us some man who can take us out of the box of the man body. This is what Maulana Rumi, Swamiji, Guru Nanak, and all other masters pray. Someone asked Guru Amar Das, how can you say what your outgoing faculties are? He said, sit down and see. Sit down and see how your outgoing faculties are working. Then what happens? When your attention is withdrawn from outside, the body, for all practical purposes, is dead. You have got no feeling in the body. When you rise above that physical level, then you see the light of God. If this is something you can do yourself, welcome you are. What more is wanted? Or go to the masters about whom we speak so much. If they can do it, well and good. That is why I have said that a spiritual revolution is required, not at the level of body, but at the level of the evil propensities which have taken you away from God. Now springtime has come. The times have changed. The first thing required is a guru or master who has seen and can make us see. Guru means the light springs forth out of the most bleak darkness. That is the elementary criterion of a master. Not a lot of words. You are not ready. You must be ready. This and that thing. In the old days, it was done like that. Now times have changed. Who can sit at the feet of a master for years? So they give you something to start with. Now maintain it. Take heed that the light within you is not darkness. So the first thing required is a guru or master. What is a guru? Word made flesh is called a guru. God has manifested himself in a man body and called him a guru. We respect him. The powerhouse works through a bulb. There is light. but the powerhouse can only work through a bulb which is not fused, you see. We respect the bulb, of course, but when it is fused, then another bulb is put on. That light coming through is the God power, called the Master power or Christ power. That never dies. It goes on working from pole to pole to guide the child humanity back to God. This is one thing that is required. It is said, if you want to see God, go to somebody who has seen God. He who has not seen God, how can he let you see? So now you see what is meant by master or guru, as compared with the other teachers of the world, for whom we have respect as they teach us something of the outer world. How respectful and grateful should we be to such a man who gives us this? Once it happened with our master, you see, there was a Christian missionary at his place, Bayas, who came to him and asked, look here, who is greater, Christ or your guru? He very politely replied, look here, I have seen my guru, I have not seen Christ. If you make him appear to me, I will meet with him too. So these bodies leave, but that power does not leave. That continues. There is food for the hungry and water for the thirsty. Demand and supply is a law of nature. The child which was born 1,000 years back, 100 years back, or now, God made arrangement for milk in the mother before birth. Don't you think that will continue further? This is the law of nature, you see, God's law. The master is the first thing required. Second thing is true living. Ethical life is a stepping stone to spirituality. Truth is above all, and true living is still above truth. We are all brothers and sisters in God, drops of the ocean of all consciousness. No high, no low. And that power whom we worship controls us in the body. Don't have any hatred because you are a man of position, because you are a learned man, because you are a rich man. All are equal. Some are standing at the table. Some are sitting in the chair. That is due to the reaction of past karmas. Then comes chastity of thought. That defiles the whole body. You cannot expect God to manifest in a body that is full of filth. Then comes violence in word, deed, and thought. All this filth comes through the mind, which defiles the man body. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. You cannot expect God to manifest in a filthy home. He is there already, but he won't manifest. If a bulb is there with light within it, but it is covered over with black spots, can you see any light? So this is what is required, true living. And the third thing is, you know, they take you and give you the direct inner way back to God. They don't touch your outer rituals, forms, labels, outer way of living. They allow you to remain in your own social bodies. There are so many, more than 700. He is not going to make another new form. Our master was once asked by some people, why don't you start a new religion? He said, there are so many wells dug up already. Why should I dig up a new one? The water is already there. The basic teachings of all masters have been the same. Why not take it? He did not form any new religion. Masters come to maintain. They come to fulfill, not to destroy. They love all. When they come, they are not the monopoly of any sect or religion, not the monopoly of the East or the West. They come for all the world over, just as the sun rises and gives light to all the world over. They come for all. Their teachings are very simple and to the point, and are the most easy and most natural as compared with all other ways of yoga. They don't tell you to follow this ritual or that ritual, this form or that form, this level or that level. They simply give you a lift from the body, raise you above the body, and open your inner eye to see the light of God. That is the capital they give you at the very first. After all, we have to leave the body. They give you a demonstration of how to leave the body. If you have day-to-day regular practice, what do you find? At the time of leaving your body, at death, you are jolly. You will go smiling because you know how to leave the body every day. All glory and beauty lie within you. They don't give you the outer ways of living or rituals or the customs of the various social bodies because they are not going to form any new religion. They come only to bring the religion of God, the religion of love. So this is what they say, that God resides in you, and the Master is one who can withdraw your attention, give you something to start with, take you out of the delusion of the man body so you can see for yourself. You are not to wait till the end of your life. As I just suggested, a bird in the hand is better than two in the bush. This is it, you see. There is God, and he can be manifested by the Word made flesh, not by those who are embodied as men, but have not risen above body consciousness. We have respect for anyone at whose feet we have learned something. But this is what is truly meant by a master. He who can give you God as a gift, excuse me, like a fruit given to somebody. So remain where you are. You have taken the first step. The next step is at the feet of someone who sees and makes you see. And for that, true living is required, but they don't want you to leave your outer customs or social bodies. And I'm also going to read the Master's very last satsang. It's from Satsang Dash of August 1975, and the satsang was given August 15th, 1974. Today is a day of independence for the country. This independence was gained after 100 years, you see. That's all right. People are trying to maintain the independence. Some are for, some are against. But we are not very much concerned with these things. We are mainly concerned with our own independence. It is only after 100 years that we have got outer independence, and we, after eons of years, ever since the world began, we are still exiled from our home, turned out of the country, you see. We have not been out of bondage yet. The golden opportunity has been afforded to us from time to time to regain that independence. But unfortunately, for one reason or the other, we did not derive the full benefit of our man bodies. Let the past bury its dead. Again, God has given you a golden opportunity of the man body so that you may regain your independence. Now we have to see how far we have gained our independence. So I was just saying that this bondage started eons back when we were sent to the world. The first bondage was of the mind. We are subservient to mind. Mind is under the control of the outgoing faculties, sight, audition, taste, smell, and touch. Through these indriyas, we are just stuck fast in the nine doors of the man body. We cannot disentangle ourselves. We are identified with the body and the world outside, so much so that we cannot extricate ourselves. There is one way up, fortunately. And that is within us. Nine doors are open. Two eyes, two ears, two nostrils, one mouth, and two underneath. Nine doors. There is one tenth door. That is within you, latent within you, and starts when you go deep down into the darkness of your body. When you enter the foxhole of your brain, you see, where does that start? Just as at the time of death our soul is withdrawn from outside, then the outgoing faculties, nine doors, are withdrawn, extricated. These physical outgoing faculties leave us. they come to the back of the eyes, and there the way to the foxhole of the brain, or the tenth door, starts. That's the door at which you are to knock, and which will open to you. On the other side, of course, is where Master Power is waiting for you. What for? To sup with you. And you are outside. In back of the eyes is where it starts. It's all pitch dark. That is the way into the foxhole of the brain. That is the only way in which you can have your independence from first the physical body and physical outgoing faculties, then the astral body and astral outgoing faculties, and then the causal body and the causal outgoing faculties. So these are the three layers by which we are bound. If you could rise above all these three, you would have your independence. For that, we have to rise above the nine doors of the body. That way is within you. You are man, born as man, with the same privileges from God. No high, no low, no east, no west. You are conscious entities, environed by mind and matter and outgoing faculties, identified with matter so much that you cannot differentiate yourself. If you press here on the arm, you feel it. So you have to withdraw your attention from the body, from the outgoing faculties, the nine doors. How? When you look inside, just look within you, into the middle of the darkness lying in front of you. There, when these physical eyes are closed, the inner or single or third eye is open to see the light within. You can see within. The dense darkness of the body is shaken off. If you cease to hear from all outside, you begin to hear inside, within you. That minstrel, our blessed God, is playing music all the time, unpaid for. No money required. He is always waiting for you to make you hear that music which is going on within you. If you don't smell anything outside, that smell within you will have a fragrance that's jasmine-like. That you will have only when you rise above physical body, not before. When you withdraw from the tongue outside, just try to taste within you the elixir of Nam within you, the bread and water of life. When you come in contact with a ringing radiance within you, that touch which is God within you, you'll be absolved of physical bondage. But this is not complete independence. It is the first part of independence. The second part will start when you rise above the astral body and the astral outgoing faculties. Then the third part, when you again rise above the causal body. Rise above them. Then you will really get your independence. Now you're all under bondage. The only difficulty is that which lies within you. First, the light is dark, pitch dark. When you close these physical eyes, they don't work. That is because the inner eye has to be opened. That single eye will be opened by someone whose inner eye is open. How? Direct your attention to the darkness within you, into the middle thereof. Look intently, minutely, penetratingly, to find what is in there. Light will sprout forth. Your eye is opened. If thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. That's the first part of it. The second part is his presence. And in the third part after that, you have got complete independence. So today is a day of independence for the country, too, but for us, it was a day of independence in the man body. One difficulty lying with us is that we cannot withdraw our attention from all outside. Our attention is identified with the world so much so that we have forgotten our own self. Somebody should be there to give us a boost, lift us up. Hundreds may sit and may be withdrawn from outside. This part of it is done by master. This is the first step. In the man body, you may work in any social body, but for this subject, You need somebody who can give you a demonstration of how to withdraw your attention from all outside and direct your outgoing faculties at your will and pleasure. We are dragged like anything. Well, that is no independence. So that is the help given by God above. He resides in every heart. He is manifest there and here. Such like souls are sent down to guide the child humanity back to God. That is God's grace. He gives us complete independence. Unfortunately, you have been given the first step, but you have not succeeded. Have you succeeded? Do outgoing faculties affect you now? Yes or no? Withdraw from outside, then it's all right. Now outside things can attract you. It is only when your attention is completely withdrawn from all outside and you forget yourself that outer things won't attract you. Dead body up to here, the eye focus. All outgoing faculties up to here, eyes, ears, etc. So long as he is in this dazed area, he is always dragged outside. There is one way. The tenth door within you. There somebody is required who can give you a boost. By regular practice, you become adept. The demonstration of this is given by Master. Then you simply rise above at your will and pleasure. Your eyes may be open, but you won't see. You may be so completely absorbed that even though somebody is calling, you won't hear. When you have got that sort of independence at your will and pleasure, you are called a Guru Mukh. This is the first step of independence you will have. We have not yet got full independence, mind that. It is you who have to get this independence, not your body, not your outgoing faculties. So that is why Master said, man, know thyself. You have to get independence. And further guidance is given by Master within you. He guides outside. He also guides inside. You are never alone. When he initiates you into this mystery, he resides with you once and for all, never leaves you until the end of the world. No power of any might can take you away from his hands. And further still, that was predestined from birth. You have completely earned this from the fortunes of the past. When you have withdrawn completely, then you can also advance within you, direct, under the guidance of the Master within you. But you cannot unless you withdraw first. You must have that first. So Paravidya is the way to complete independence. I am the minister of my whole body. How many servants have you got? 10 servants to obey you. They don't go by my orders. Now we are dragged by these servants. Decide at the feet of the Master. Independence. Withdraw your attention from outside. Then your inner eye opens. Your inner ear opens. Now only outgoing faculties are opened. How many here have been put on the way? Have any of you even crossed one class? One of the treasures of independence? No. Be jolly and joy. When? When you have got at least one part of the independence, then the second, then the third. When you have complete independence, the whole world will dance with you, you see. Learn to die so that you may begin to live. This is what is meant by twice born. You must be reborn in the name of God who is within you. This demonstration of being reborn is given by some competent person. Take Christ's cross daily, you see. Christ said, those who do not take cross daily are not my disciples. How far have you gained? Today is the 15th of August. Independence Day celebration was held in the town. You must have seen the vast crowd on TV at the talk that was given. This is the satsang. Here I bypass the celebration and tell you where your true independence lies. At least gain the first part of it, then claim your independence. How many are there who have traversed the second part of independence, Hands up, please. There are very few. Where there is a will, there is a way. Have the complete independence. To start with, we must have the first part of independence, and that is rising above body consciousness, physical. We should try our utmost to regain this spiritual way while in the earthly body. This is the golden opportunity. Time and tide wait for no man. Those who want to have the complete independence, let them put their hands up. There is nobody who does not want it, Master chuckles. Then, by procrastinating, time will be wasted. Vedas say so. Procrastination is putting off till tomorrow what you can do today. This stands in the way. This is the main stumbling block on the way. Start your journey from the house. Go outside. Reach the goal. Die on the way, not at your door, or at the door of where you have to reach. If you have the first part of independence, people run up to you. If you gain the third part of independence, the whole world will be after you, you see? Does this appeal to you? What's delaying you? So shake off your habit of procrastination. This morning you had to wait, I'm sorry, but thank God it is within you. The way was explained to you at this moment. So try to understand it and reach this independence, which is awaiting you in the man body. All right. God bless you all. Thank you, Master, for the satsang and for all feasible help and protection. I guess we can hang up our phones.
Thank you, Joan, for the wonderful reading. Excuse me a moment, I'll do a count.